Lord. Three hogs and a cot. Well, I've got to try. You guys are killing me. All right. So, you know, the reality is none of us are in this alone. All of us struggle. All of us fail. All of us have victories. All of us, you know, we're up, we're down, we're in between, we mess up, we have a great day, right? Let me start out tonight by saying this. Nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer except for that which is outside of the will of God. Nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer except that which is outside the will of God. I don't know who said that first, but that is an absolutely true statement. When things look absolutely the worst and we feel like giving up, we need to just continue to pray. Amen? I said this a couple weeks ago that Dr. R.A. Torrey said that pray for great things, expect great things, work for great things, but above all, pray. And our job is to pray and to believe by faith, and the rest of it is in God's hands. The rest of it is up to Him. We can't do anything about it. We can stay up all night, we can fret, we can stew, we can wonder, we can ponder, but at the end of the day, our job is to let our requests be made known unto God, pray the prayer of faith, without doubting, believe. The rest of it's up to Him. He's sovereign. And again, nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer except that which is outside the will of God. Now, why sometimes it seems that our prayers lie outside of the will of God? I don't have that answer. If I did, man, write a book, start a bank. I mean, everybody'd be wanting to come and see you, because if you had those kind of answers, why God does these things, I don't know. All I know is that we have a life to live, and it's a life lived according to faith. According to faith. And again, Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, one of my all-time favorite passages of Scripture says, "Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance, as an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all that the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success." Verse 9, he brings it up again. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So when I look at this ninth verse, the question is, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? And then he goes on to say this, "Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed." Have you ever been praying about something and it has the tendency to leave you dismayed? I think there are some of us, even in this room tonight, that are dealing with that very issue. But yet here it's very plain, we're not to be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It's one thing to say to a leader, be strong and be very courageous, and yet it's quite something else to enable him to do so. God has the capability and the power within Himself not only to encourage us and to empower us to be strong and courageous, but also to guide us and lead us into every area that we go. In fact, that's exactly what He was setting Joshua and the children of Israel up to do. It would just do what He commanded Moses to do and what Moses had talked to Joshua about doing, and now what the Lord is talking to Joshua to do in order to take the land. If they'll just do what God says to do, we'll see victory in our life. The victory might not look exactly like our picture of the victory, but it will be a victory nonetheless. You know, God does things so strange. He does things so different than the way you and I would do it. And I'm reminded in about the fourth or fifth chapter of the book of Joshua, when they're about ready to enter into the promised land, when they're about to go in and take the land, they cross the river. Some of you will remember this story, but they crossed the river, and once they, the river was the only thing that was separating them from their enemies. Right? And so they crossed the river. Now they're in enemy territory. Now they're within striking distance, literally, of the enemy. And what is the first thing that the Lord commands Joshua to do? Circumcise all of his fighting men. Every one of them. Because for 40 years they've quit doing that. And it was part of the religiosity, if you will, of the Old Testament and the covenant that they, and he said, listen, I want to begin to restore some things, and part of that is circumcision. Now these guys are within striking distance of their enemy, and Joshua has just neutralized, if you will, his entire fighting force. Why couldn't we do that on the other side of the river? It's a picture, at least for me in my mind, it's a picture of God putting His people literally in harm's way, neutralizing them, taking all the fight right out of the men. I mean, He took the fight right out of them. And so in that moment, they had to have a level of faith to trust, be strong, and to be courageous in what God was saying. And they had to trust God in that moment. Joshua's strength and his courage would come from meditating on the Word of God, from believing its promises and then obeying its precepts. See, it was the counsel that Moses had given to all the people in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and the first 9 verses, and now God is applying it specifically to Joshua. You got to ask yourself, what is God specifically saying to you? Because the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And so what that means is when you read God's Word today, it can be so sweet and so loving and so compassionate and so kind. And tomorrow you can open the Word up and the Word can just be going... You know why? Because it's a different day. There's different things. God's Word, it's the same Word, but it's applying to different areas in your life. It's God's Word. It's alive. And He wants to use it to bless our lives. And in the life of the Christian believer, prosperity and success are not to be measured by the standards of the world. Amen? They're not to be measured by the standards of the world. The blessings that we receive are the byproduct of a life that's been devoted to God and His Word. So if you set out on your own and to become a prosperous and successful person, you may achieve your goal and in fact live to regret it. Think about that. The Scottish novelist George MacDonald wrote, "In whatever man does without God, he must fail miserably or succeed more miserably." Think about that. So again, the questions that you and I as God's children need to ask are, do we or did we obey the will of God? And were we empowered by the Spirit of God? And did we or did we not serve to the glory of God? That's the question that we're going to have to answer one of these days. Am I obedient to the will of God? Am I doing what God's asking me to do? Is my life, am I living in the will of God? That's a tough question that we're going to have to answer. The second question is, am I empowered by the Spirit of God? Am I walking, in other words, in the Spirit? Or am I walking after my flesh? And probably every one of us in this room tonight can give testimony of times when we've walked in the Spirit and times when we have gotten in the flesh. Amen. Listen, walking by in the Spirit is much more fruitful, is much more beneficial. It's just a whole lot better, because when we begin to walk in the flesh, we sometimes are completely out of whack. Amen. I mean, we'll do things when we're walking in the flesh that we would not do if we're walking in the Spirit. That's why he says, walk in the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Because the things you do in the flesh, the things that I do in the flesh, are not things that are pleasing to God, because we're not living by the Spirit. Amen? So I think that it can certainly be said that just like there's only a heaven or a hell, there's only walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. There's not really any middle ground there that I know of. You're either walking in the Spirit or you're walking in the flesh. So it's a choice that we have to make every day to walk in the Spirit. Well, but I've been filled with the Spirit, Pastor. So have I. I've been filled with the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I mean, I understand that. I've prayed for people and seen them healed. We've seen all kinds of stuff, and we've seen so many people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus at our altars. It's because I've been filled with the Spirit, and I've said things and done things that I would normally not do in the flesh, in ministry, is what I'm talking about, that you just do because you're in the Spirit. But yet, sometimes I'm in the flesh, and that's when things go bad. Amen? Do we do all that we do to the glory of God? These are questions I think that we're going to have to deal with one day as we stand before the Lord. I think He's going to ask us some tough questions. And I want for us to have good answers for Him. Amen. He'd a lot rather have us doing our best to live for Him and to glorify Him and study and to show our, you know, that and begin to meditate on the reality that I am the temple of God. And then we absolutely blow it. Absolutely blowing it's not the end of the line. Absolutely blowing it and not doing anything about what we've blown is close to the end of the line. Absolutely blowing it and then saying, listen, I've got to make this confession. I've got to get this off of me. I've got to confess. The Bible says we're to confess our faults. Pardon me? To who? That'd be like you and I, or you and I, or you and I, one to another. We don't like doing that. Well, you want to know why it says that? Because I don't think I like the idea of having to confess my shortcomings to you or to you or to you or to anybody else. You know why? Because in my flesh, that makes me look bad. You could look at it that way. But that's why it's a motivator. It's a motivator for us to live righteously. Right? Because I don't want to have to tell you every time I mess up. And so I got to try my level best to walk in the Spirit so that I don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's the idea behind it. And so then if we can answer yes to the questions that I just proposed to you, then our ministry has been successful in God's eyes, no matter what anybody else thinks. Because we're not measuring our lives by anyone else's standards. We're measuring our lives according to God's standards. So God's commandments God's commandments are still God's enablements for those who obey Him by faith. And Gabriel, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, the words that He spoke to Mary are as true today as they were when He spoke them in Nazareth. He said, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Benny, with God, nothing is impossible. Let me just remind you of 10 lepers. You know the story. The story of the 10 lepers was they all prayed and asked Jesus to heal them. And what did He do? He healed every one of them. And they were so happy. And they all ran off. Except one. And the one came back. And what's the difference between the one and the nine? The one was made whole. What does that mean? They were all healed. Well, leprosy, parts start falling off. Fingers and all kind of toes and, you know, body parts. And the Bible said He was restored. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because He took time. He did something that the other nine didn't do. He went back and gave thanks to Jesus for healing him. And because of that, they were all healed. Don't misunderstand me. They were all healed of leprosy. But they did not all get restored. Just the one did. So again, I said all that to say, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And let me just read to you that same verse out of the American Standard Version of 1901, which says, "For no word from God shall be void of power." No word from God shall be void of power. How true is that? The very word that God speaks has in it the power of fulfillment that if we will but trust and obey, God will make it happen. Listen, you're sitting tonight in answered prayer. Do you even realize that? You're seated tonight in answered prayer, because when we were in the Ralph Brown building, the mall down there, you know, we were spending thousands of dollars every month on rent. Just throwing it out the window, just rent, filling somebody else's bank account with money. And we were praying because we didn't feel like that's glorifying to God to just be throwing money away when that money could be being used for ministry purposes. And so we began to pray and we began to seek and we began to take steps of faith to find a building that we could call our own, a piece of property to build a building on. And lo and behold, here we are. And we own it outright. Free and clear, we own this building and the property that it sits on. So you're literally seated tonight in answered prayer. I just want you to understand it's the fulfillment because we trusted and we obeyed what God was calling us to do. He's called us, church, to be good stewards. Do you realize that? Every one of us are called as children of God to be good stewards with what He has entrusted to us. God's blessings on true worshipers also include that He sends manifestations of His Holy Spirit among His people. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with me just for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting in verse 7, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. For as the body is one, and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body also, or so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Do you get the understanding? Do you begin to picture here in this passage of Scripture that all that's happening is by one Spirit? There's not a bunch of different spirits. It's done by the same Spirit. The church, we need to understand tonight that the purpose of spiritual gifts is to enable you and I, as His believers, as His children, to do the work of ministry, the work to which God has called every one of us. Woo! Amen, preacher. Glory. He's not talking just about the ministerial leadership. He's talking about the leave everything off of it. He's talking to the body. We all make up the body. You might be the eye. You might be an ear. You probably are a mouth. Give me some right there, buddy. We love Dennis. Listen, every one of us, God has fashioned us, God has equipped us, God has given us talents and giftings, and He's building us up. I pick on Dennis all the time, but the reality is God has grown him so much since he very first started coming here. It's just unbelievable in reality. But God's raising him up. He's growing us. He's teaching every one of us. Every one of us, whether we're old or whether we're young, it doesn't make a difference. God is raising us up. He's teaching us. Why? For ministry. For ministry. He's calling us out. The purpose of spiritual gifts is to enable believers to do the work of ministry, which is the work to which God has called us. The word prophet means edification, it means advantage, and it means benefit. The word prophet means edification, advantage, or benefit. Believers, you and I as believers, are equipped with spiritual gifts primarily for the benefit and the edification of others, not for ourselves. Isn't that amazing? Not for ourselves. Why not for ourselves? It's not that we can't use them for ourselves. The reality is, if we focus on ourselves, we begin to get puff-chested. We get big-headed. We begin to think more highly of ourselves than what we ought to think. And so my gifts are to build you up. My gifts are to help you. My job as pastor, according to the Word, is to equip you, the saints, for the work of ministry. He'll shrink it for you. He'll take care of that. You don't have to worry about it. But our giftings are primarily for the benefit and the edification or the profit. Think of it that way, to bring profit. And I'm not talking monetary profit. We're not talking about profit sharing. We're talking about edification or advantage or benefit. The gifts are not given to you and I as believers for our own gratification or for us to reveal or rather to revel in some sense of self-importance or super spirituality. Oh, have you heard me speak in tongues? I mean, I can speak in tongues for hours and hours. Well, doesn't that make, isn't that great? Listen, that is nowhere needed in the church. If you're praying in tongues, that's great. If you prophesy, that's great. But if you're the one prophesying, you're probably in trouble. Because it needs to be God speaking through you to edify and to build up the body. That's what it's all about. These are not for our own gratification. The believer does, of course, profit and we do benefit from the gifts that have been given to us, but we are gifted primarily, my giftings primarily, you know what primarily means? First. Primarily, my gifts are to edify and to help others. You know what I've learned? If I will concentrate on helping other people succeed, I can't help but being a success. If I do everything that I can to see that Dennis is a success in ministry, I can't help but being a success. See, we can see all this in the word manifestation. Manifestation, it means to be openly and publicly seen. The gifts of the Spirit are to be openly and publicly used. In other words, number one, they are to be manifest to the church. Right? They are to be manifest to the church. In other words, the gifts of the Spirit are to be used to edify the church, to build up the church, to encourage the church. Secondly, they are to be manifested to the world. In other words, used to benefit the world. How? By reaching the lost. And when we reach the lost become the church. And so we go back to number one, which says we are to manifest them in the church and edify and build up the body. The gifts of the Spirit are given, listen to me, to every man. Now, when I say every man, I want you to remember that it's a non-gender specific term. He's not talking about men. He's talking about mankind. He's talking about every person that is a believer. The gifts of the Spirit have been given to every man. How many of you have faith? Every one of us should have our hands in the air. You know why? Because God said in His Word, I've given every one of you a measure of faith. Faith is like a muscle. You need to exercise your faith. It's so that your faith will become stronger and stronger. Every single believer, we've been given a spiritual gift, at least one. And they're not given only to the educated and to the understanding. I'm living proof of that. Listen. Every single believer is given some spiritual gift by the Spirit of God. And it is given because it is needed in the church and the world. Needed to help in ministering to people and in reaching the lost for Christ. We cannot do it in our own power. I illustrate this sometimes by bringing like a Sawzall to church. And you can take a Sawzall and you can cut a 2x4 in two with it. It's a lot of work, but you can do it. You can do it. But when you empower the Sawzall, whether it's plugging it in or putting a battery in it, when you energize it, when you power up the Sawzall, all of a sudden it becomes so much easier to cut the 2x4. It's a simple illustration of what it means to be given a gift and endued with power, just like he said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, I will endue you with power. Power from on high. Dunamis power, which is where we get our word dynamite. And guys love blowing stuff up. Hey, man. It's so fun. We won't even get into that. We'll just move along. But the reality is, and I know I'm harping on this a lot, but there's a reason for it, because if we've all been given spiritual gifts, in the scripture that I used in 1 Corinthians, remember what it said? It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit... What is the manifestation of the Spirit, by the way? The outward showing, it could be simplified by saying the use of the gifts, right? That each one of us have been given by God. We've established that in Scripture. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, what? It's given to each one. It's given to each one. The rest of the verse says this way, for the profit of all. Let me put it like this. If you're not walking in your spiritual gift, I'm getting shortchanged. If you're not walking in all of your spiritual giftings, I'm being shortchanged. I'm being shorted. I'm being cheated here. And so the church, as in general, the church, when the church begins to move, Anthony, in all of the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit, the church will be so radical . My motto is, if we will catch on fire, they will come and watch us burn. They will come and watch us burn. So, you know, it's talking about the Spirit. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Do you see what's happening here? P- Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and they were having some problems in the church. And Paul's saying, listen, you guys are taking the gifts of the Spirit and you're using them to make yourselves look good. But that's not what it's about. The same Spirit gave you that gift, and you that gift. It's the same Spirit, and it's to be used to edify and build up the entire body. The list of different gifts is given to show just how diverse the gifts of the Spirit really are. They're different. You've got different giftings, RJ, than I have. And I've got different giftings than you are. But you've got giftings. Whether you recognize them or not is irrelevant. The reality is you have giftings and you need to get before God. And you need to find out what they are. And you need to begin walking in those gifts. Every one of us. The list of gifts is different. And they are given to show just how diverse the gifts of the Spirit really are. He can gift a person as He wills, and His gifts are many and they are varied. They are many and they are varied. The list, obviously, is only partial. Other gifts are mentioned in other passages of the Scripture. The unity of the gifts is re-stressed. The unity of the gifts is re-stressed. In other words, he's revisiting the idea that every one of us need to be using our gifts for the edification of the body. The point is critical for the church to learn and practice, and so he repeats it. It's not just important, it's critical. When someone's in the hospital and they're in bad shape, what do they say? They're critical. They're critical. They're in critical condition. Things could go either way. It's critical. There's an intensity. There's an importance to this diagnosis. It is critical. It is critical for the church to learn and practice the gifts of the Spirit. Yes, sir. It's by His Spirit, yes. But we're talking about different forms of types of the gift. The gifts of prophecy. That is God speaking through us. You're right. The source is the same. That's why He's saying in that passage of Scripture over and over, it's the same Spirit. It's to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. All of these things, he says, is by one Spirit. What Spirit? The Spirit of God. His Holy Spirit. And church, we're a Pentecostal church. We're a full gospel church. We should not be afraid of the gifts of the Spirit. We should not be intimidated by the gifts of the Spirit. If Mike stands up and gives a message in tongues, and Tom stands up and gives the interpretation of the message that Mike just gave, it shouldn't freak the church out. The church ought to rejoice that God is moving again in His church. It's not for Mike to show off, hey, I can speak in tongues. It's not for Tom to show off and say, hey, I can interpret, because Tom can't interpret. The Spirit, Carl, of God is manifesting in Tom to give translation and understanding to what he said in his heavenly language. And what Tom says from what Mike said, will build up and edify the body of Christ. Amen? That's how it works. But we can't leave here going, man, did you hear what I did tonight? Did you hear me talking in tongues? Did you hear me interpret the, and we leave here with some cocky attitude about how good we are. We ought to walk out of here, if anything, absolutely humbled that God would use us for His glory at whatever level. Isn't that amazing? The gifts, all the gifts just that we've been talking about are given by the one and the same Spirit. God's gifts do not come from any other source. They just flat don't. True spiritual gifts cannot be earned, they're not merited, and they're not to be worked up or can be worked up by men. It's not happening. It comes from a manifestation of God, Carl. You're exactly right. No man deserves the gift of the grace of God. None of us. It is a gift of grace. So there's no room for self-importance or super spirituality, nor for controversy. In about Acts chapter 4, and I can't give you the verse, but I believe it's in chapter 4. It says that the gifts are for us and for our children and for all them that are afar off. We are those that are afar. They were talking about that are afar off. So for people to say today that the gifts were only for the New Testament church, the apostles, the original disciples, and it ended there, that is just it. They cannot support that in any way biblically. They cannot support it. They want to remove it because they want to neuter, if I can use that term, they want to neuter the power of God in the church. And the reason why primarily is because we've taken the gifts that God has given and we've began to promote ourselves or our church for how great we are for what God has done. But if we will just give God the glory for everything that He's doing, God will make the church grow. Amen? I'm stopping. We're done. We got a lot more to say about the gifts of the Spirit. But remember, we're talking about worship and how the gifts of the Spirit are to be used in worship. And the reality is, most often, it would be in the middle of a worship service that somebody would stand up or speak out a message in tongues, and someone else would interpret it. 9 times out of 10, that happens in how the worship songs kind of have an ebb and flow to them. And in one of those ebb times when it's just a quiet time and people are just worshiping the Lord, that's 9 times out of 10. That's when it's going to happen. And that's why the church shouldn't get nervous, because the worship leaders aren't singing. They're just being quiet before the Lord and playing and being reverent, giving the Holy Spirit some time to speak out through somebody or, you know. And so this is a very lengthy subject, and I'm just going to knock the top off of it, basically, because we're not really talking about the gifts of the Spirit as a topic. We're talking about worship and how the gifts of the Spirit can be used in worship. And so I don't want us to get, you know, too carried away, but at the same time, I want to speak to and succinctly talk about the importance of the gifts of the Spirit in worship and in the church service. Amen? Any questions before we wrap up in prayer? Yes? I've used 500 of them tonight. Edification? To build up. Edify. It's edification is the long version of edify, right? It's the pluralization of edify. In other words, when you say edification, it's talking about the overall building up of the people or the church. If I'm going to edify you, I'm going to build you up. If I'm going to experience and move in edification, and if what I'm doing brings edification to the body, it's building up the entire body. That's what that word means. All right? All right. Well, thanks for being with us on the internet tonight. Thanks for being here with us tonight. I pray that you guys are getting, I pray that you're getting something from my ramblings. And honestly, sometimes I feel like that's what I'm doing is just rambling. But every once in a while, I feel like we hit one on the head. And these gifts, if we will learn to walk in the gifts, and without question, church, every one of you have been given a gift. Every one of us. And so find out what it is and begin to walk in it and exercise your gift and say, God, help me to use the gift that you've given me to build up the church. Amen. Father, thank you for this night. It's been a great time just to be together with your people and to be in your presence. And Lord, to study your word, to just take your word and chew on it and tear it apart and see really what you're saying. And Lord, what we've seen here and heard here tonight is that it's one Spirit that's doing one work in every one of us in different ways and in different forms and different fashions, but it's the same Spirit, and you're really doing the same work in all of us. We're just in different stages. And so, Lord, would you grow your church? Would you grow your body? Would you help us to exercise our gifts? Lord, that the world outside would see what you're doing and see that lives are changed in your presence, and that they would recognize that they need their lives to be changed by you. And Father, I thank you that we have that place here, and we give you all the praise and the glory for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. Good night.